listen well. Are you behind on your credit card bills? Good, pick up the phone and start dialing. Is your landlord ready to evict you? Good, pick up the phone and start dialing. Does your girlfriend think you're a fucking worthless loser? Good, pick up the phone and start dialing. I want you to deal with your problems by becoming rich. All you have to do today is pick up that phone and speak the words that I have taught you. And I will make you richer than the most powerful CEO in the United States of fucking America. I want you to go out there and I want you to ram Steve Madden's stock down your clients' throats till they fucking choke on it. Yeah. Till they choke on it and they buy 100,000 shares. That's what I want you to do. You be ferocious. You be relentless. You be telephone fucking terrorists. Now let's knock this motherfucker out of the park.
Whatever may be said of the praise of poverty, the fact remains that it is not possible to live a really complete or successful life unless one is rich. No man can rise to his greatest possible height in talent or soul development unless he has plenty of money. For to unfold the soul and to develop talent, he must have many things to use. And he cannot have these things unless he has money to buy them. Yes, 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 yes. MFG. Come on. Yes, 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 yes. What is going on? Welcome to the Money Flow Trading Society's podcast, Mastering the Trade. I'm your host, Gerald Peters. Always remember, whatever it is you think about comes about. Whatever it is you focus on grows.
More ripoffs. The savings and loan scandal could cost $500 billion. But in Washington, the big question still is, who gets the blame? Today, the president and his congressional critics gave a preview of the positions that they'll be taking to the voters later this year. More on that now from NBC's John Cochran.
Trying to deflect charges that he has pussyfooted on SNL fraud, President Bush told federal prosecutors from all over the country to intensify their efforts.
We will not rest until the cheats and the chiselers and the charlatans...
We will not rest until the cheats and the chislers and the charlatans. Not charlatans, by the way, charlatans. And which one are you? Are you a cheat? Are you a chisler? Or maybe you're a charlatan. Hey, man, welcome back to the Money Flow Society's podcast, Master in the Trade. Hey, today, one of the masters of the universe, I don't care if you like him or don't like him, and yeah, he's at the head of a lot of conspiracy theories, my man named Larry Fink. Now, if you don't know who Larry Fink is, you're not doing your homework in the stock market. You need to dig in. You need to know who the players are, the super players. Yeah, even if they're in the Illuminati, even if they caused the COVID, I don't know. They blame this man for a lot of things. He's at the sits at the pinnacle of, I don't know, Rothschild and conspiracies and controlling the world and keeping all the people poor. But let's dig into who Larry Fink is and let's dig into his annual letter. I think you'll dig it.
The year was 1776. In Bavaria, new ideals of rationalism, religious freedom, and universal human rights competed with the Catholic Church's heavy influence over public affairs. Across the Atlantic, a new nation staked its claim for independence on the basis of these ideas. But back in Bavaria, law professor Adam Weishaupt's attempts to teach secular philosophy continued to be frustrated. Weishaupt decided to spread his ideas through a secret society that would shine a light on the shortcomings of the church's ideology. He called his secret society the Illuminati.
My man, Larry Fink, is the chairman and chief executive officer of BlackRock. Yeah, that guy. Lawrence D. Fink is the chairman and chief executive officer of BlackRock. He and seven partners founded BlackRock in 1988, and under his leadership, the firm has grown into a global leader in investment and technology solutions. BlackRock's mission is to help our clients build better financial futures, and the firm is trusted to manage more than any other investment company in the world. These guys are the stock market, the top player, the big dog, and they're in the Illuminati.
BlackRock announcing it. If you keep your eyes on the financial markets and financial news, the name BlackRock will certainly get your attention. With $10 trillion in assets, they're not just another name in the investment game.
Drew, over $10 trillion, yes. AUM, congratulations on that.
BlackRock is the world's largest asset manager. The company wields a staggering level of financial clout. BlackRock was founded in 1988 and has since redefined much of the investment management landscape. This is BlackRock.
Where's my friend?
Right. I gotta say, I'm incredibly excited to be a part of your firm. I mean, the clients you have are absolutely
top. Fuck the clients. Your only responsibility is to put meat on the table. You got a girlfriend?
I'm married. I have a wife. Her name's Teresa. She cuts hair.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
Think about Teresa. Name of the game? Move the money from your client's pocket into your pocket.
Prior to founding BlackRock in 1988, Mr. Fink was a member of the management committee and a managing director of the First Boston Corporation. He serves as a member of the Board of Trustees of the New York University and the World Economic Forum, no shit, like Davos, and is the co-chairman of the NYU Langone Medical Center Board of Trustees. In addition, he serves on the boards of the Museum of Modern Art, the Council of Foreign Relations, and the International Rescue Committee. He also serves on the advisory board of the, and I can't pronounce the name, University School of Economics and Management in Beijing, China. That's why I couldn't pronounce it. The word is spelled T-S-I-N-G-U-A-A, University School of Economics. And it just so happens to be in China. So, and on the executive committee of the Partnership of New York City, Mr. Fink earned an MBA from the University of California at Los Angeles, UCLA, in 1976, and a BA from UCLA in 1974, before joining the Illuminati.
Right, but if you can make a client's money at the same time, it's advantageous to everyone, correct?
No. Number one rule of Wall Street. Nobody, I don't care if you're Warren Buffett or if you're Jimmy Buffett, nobody knows if a stock is going to go up, down, sideways, or in fucking circles. Least of all stockbrokers, right?
Born Lawrence Douglas Fink, November 2nd, 1992, he's an American billionaire businessman. He is the co-founder, chairman, and CEO of BlackRock, goes by the ticker BLK. An American multinational investment management corporation, BlackRock is the largest money management firm in the world with more than 10 get trillion in assets under management. In April 2022, Fink's net worth was estimated at $1 billion, according to Forbes. He sits on the boards of the Council of Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum. Basically, OLF here is a professional trader. He trades in all aspects and all markets at all times.
Tootski.
No, thank you, though.
Mister, what can I bring for you on this glorious afternoon?
Well, Hector, here's the game plan. You're going to bring us two absolute martinis. You know how I like them, straight up. And then precisely 7.5 minutes after that, you're going to bring us two more. Then two more after that, every 5 minutes until one of us passes the fuck out.
Excellent strategy, sir.
A little about Mr. Fink's early life. Mr. Fink grew up in Van Nuys, California. He was one of three children to a Jewish family. His mother was an English professor and his father owned a shoe store. So we see academic mixed with real world practical selling, owning a store. So in his family, it was important that their children be educated and go to school. He went on to earn a BA in political science from the University of California. And he was a member of Kappa Beta Pi, which I'm not much of I'm not much up on stocks, college and stuff, but I know that's pretty good. He received an MBA, which is a master's in business, basically in real estate at the UCLA Anderson School of Management in 1976, which explains a lot of BlackRock's involvement in the real estate market. They own REITs. We're going to see as I dig into the letter that Larry Fink wrote to the shareholders, people related to BlackRock Corporation, and we'll see why it's important that we see where he was born, how he was raised, the family virtues he grew up with, who he then goes to form what becomes BlackRock and become the largest asset manager in the world, $10 trillion. This guy is a master investor trader. Yes, he's a member of the Illuminati. We all know that. And responsible for all the evils of the world and keeping people poor. All that aside, follow the money. Keep your eye on these guys and listen to what he's got to say. I think his letter is some insight into the Money Flow Trading Society to see where is the largest asset manager in the world. Where is he looking? What's he thinking? We know he's involved in Bitcoin. He helped make us a lot of money by spearheading the effort to take Bitcoin to the higher rates, higher prices, to help make it an ETF. When Larry Fink got behind Bitcoin, Bitcoin became legal.
I'm good with water for now, though. Thank you. It's his first day on Wall Street. Give him time. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Mr. Hammer, you were able to drugs during the day and then still function, still do your job.
Well, how the fuck else would you do this job? Cocaine and hookers, my friend.
Right.
Fink started his career in 1976. By the way, I looked up to see what the Dow was in 1976. It was 975. 975. Today, the Dow Jones, we know, is working its way to 40,000. I don't know what happened to it. In the year 1976, the Dow had a 17% increase. The year 1995, the Dow had a 38% increase. 1974, it had a decline of 27%. So, man, if you would have invested hard during the 1974, which was a horrible time, you would have bought up a lot of stage ones. By the time we get through 1975 into 1980,
76, an average man could have 5x, 10x his account. That's where we're going to see Larry at here. Larry starts his career in 1976 at First Boston, a New York-based investment bank, where he was one of the first mortgage-backed security traders and eventually managed the firm's bond department. Let's talk about that. What kind of stocks come to mind right there? First Boston, a New York investment bank, Money Flow Trading Society, MFJ Capital, that's me. Where he was, what do? I invest in what? AGNC. AGNC, there's Anlin Capital, there's MFA, there's PNNT, except that is loans to businesses. But this is when the mortgage-backed security, this is these companies like AGNC that are paying these fat 10, 15, 20% dividend yields. He was involved in one of the early people who had been to Ivy League colleges working at investment banks, which is technically working on Wall Street. He's part of the development of that entire sector of the market. And I make a lot of money from it. A lot of closed-end funds make their money from it. If you're invested in Cornerstone, if you're invested in a lot of these stocks, these guys that all these people trash on now, these guys helped develop that, helped create the modern financial system, which is one of the ways that a blue-collar, average, everyday person, they can't stop you. You can just get on a phone and push fucking buttons, and you can get rich. Fink started at First Boston, mortgage-backed securities trader, eventually became the firm's bond department. We trade bonds, TMF, TLT, J&K, corporate bonds, junk bonds. Fink was a member of the management committee, a managing director and co-head of the taxable fixed income division. Think Cornerstone, think USA, think GLV. We all make money on these funds. He was one of the guys that helped early days of Wall Street when this shit was really coming together. Also started the financial futures and options department and headed the mortgage and real estate products group. And this is at First Boston. This is back in the day. This was a big bank. Banks, you're going to see come and go, man. Investment firms come and go. You have mergers. Names change. Shares are sold. There's takeovers. People leave. Some are closed down. That's what I'm trying to do. My assets model, my model, after guys like this, Warren Buffett, Oak Street Capital. Slices of different pieces of the pie. You're seeing right now, Blackstone is heavily involved in buying single family homes. No shit, so am I. Blackstone is developing products on the Ethereum blockchain and they own crypto. No shit, so do I. We are seeing the same things. They have to manage 10 trillion, I have to manage 4 million.
It's all a Fugazi. You know what a Fugazi is?
No. Fugazi, it's a fake.
Yeah, Fugazi, Fugazi, it's a wazi, it's a woozy, it's a fairy dust. It doesn't exist. It's never landed. It is no matter. It's not on the elemental chart. It's not fucking real.
Right?
All right. Stay with me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't create shit. We don't build anything.
No.
So if you got a client who bought stock at 8 and it now sits at 16 and he's all fucking happy. He wants to cash in, liquidate, take his fucking money and run home. You don't let him do that.
Vanity Fair reported in 2010 that Fink had increased First Boston's assets by $1 billion. I guess that would make you a very good employee. You'd be employee of the month. He was successful at the bank until 1986 when his department lost $100 million. Damn. When Larry Fink loses, he likes to do it with zeros. His department lost $100 million due to his incorrect prediction about interest rates. In other words, you ever heard the phrase, don't fight the Fed? He tried fighting the Fed. The experience influenced his decision to start a company that would invest clients' money while also incorporating comprehensive risk management. In other words, he's like, fuck, man, we got to do something with these stage fours. If we're going to be all in one sector, we got to hedge it. So here's what he did. Hey, fuck, man, let's buy everything. Let's own and trade everything. And then we're always winning. There is no free lunch but diversification, they say. In 1988, under the corporate umbrella, the Blackstone Group. Fink co-founded BlackRock and became its director and CEO. Don't let what I just said pass over. In 1988, under the corporate umbrella of Blackstone, come on, man, BX, baby. What? I'm sorry. I'm up about 380% in BX right now. I've been with my firm. I've been invested with, those are my boys. Come on, man, those are my boys. Larry Flink. Come on, man. It's not Flint. That's the place where they ran out of water. Larry Flink. Fink. Come on, man. Get it right. Larry Fink, the billionaire mortgage-backed securities trader, started an investment firm called BlackRock under the umbrella of Blackstone. We all know what Blackstone is. The Blackstone Group is an American alternative investment management company based in New York City. Blackstone's private equity business has been one of the largest investors in leveraged buyouts in the last three decades. While its real estate business, why we might need Larry Fink, he helped create this securitization of the mortgage-backed security and one of the first bond MBS traders at First Boston. You see how all this stuff begins to connect? The Illuminati connections between BlackRock and Blackstone. And you're going to go back. You're going to see First Boston. Lehman Brothers gets tied up in this. They bring in a guy who was a badass trader, but he was at Lehman Brothers. All these guys have blown out at one point, and then they get rich. See, they don't quit when they fail. Blue-collar guys sometimes put their head between their legs, and they, scurry on home. Fuck that. Trump's blown out how many times? Get up, son. Let's go. Blackstone is also active in credit, infrastructure, hedge funds, insurance, secondaries, and growth equity. This is going to be important as we get into Larry's letter to understand what I just said. The connection between Blackstone, BlackRock, Larry Fink, and infrastructure. Listen up, Money Flow Trading Society. It's time to get rich. Get your rich getting hat on. It's time to get rich.
Okay, because that would make it real.
Right.
Now, what do you do? You get another brilliant idea. A special idea. Another.
Blackstone. Not talking BlackRock here. Not Larry Fink's company. Talking Blackstone, the original umbrella that Larry Fink went independent on to manage money, manage capital, to take his ability and understanding of securitization of real estate and trading, and then having lost a lot of money, spent time studying and learning about risk management and ways to hedge things, fell up under Blackstone, that was formed in 1985 by Peter, get this, G. Peterson, and Stephen A. Schwarzman with $400,000. I got 10 times that in seed capital. Man, what could I do with mine? What could you do with yours? The founders named their new firm Blackstone using a cryptogram derived from their names. Schwartz is German for black. Peter, Petros, or Petra, the masculine and female rendering of the word respectively, means stone or rock in Greek. The two founders had previously worked together at Lehman Brothers. There, Schwartzman, yeah, Lehman Brothers, the famous bank that went bankrupt but made a shit ton until it did. The founders had previously worked together at Lehman Brothers. There, Schwartzman served as head of global mergers and acquisition businesses. Prominent investment bankers, Roger C. Altman, if you dig into the history, this gets good. Another Lehman veteran left his position as managing director of Lehman Brothers to join Peterson and Schwartzman at Blackstone in 1987. I actually joined them after watching a Grant Cardone video about 9 years ago, and I invested about $4,000 that turned into about $50,000. Thank you, Mr. Schwartzman and Mr. Peterson. They hooked up with Roger Altman. Another Lehman veteran left his position as managing director of Lehman Brothers to join Peterson and Rumman at Blackstone, but left in 1992, listen up kids, to join the Clinton administration as deputy treasury secretary. Woo! Do you see the connection between Larry Flint, Stephen Schwartzman, and Peterson of the Blackstone connection to BlackRock connection to the government, connection to the Treasury Department, connection to creating the securitization of real estate in the fucking beginning. These guys have been there, been creating legislation, and what is seen by some as evil doing is actually called creating. It's industrialization. It's how you push the railroads. It's how you push shit. You got to lean on people sometimes to get things going. If there's not money being made, if there's not capital, these guys will not go there. This is why it's kind of important, instead of just studying theories or rabbit holes, man, how do we make money with these guys? Because they're not waiting on you. They're not going to come to your house. Hey, you want to know what we're doing in infrastructure? No, they're not going to tell us.
Situation, another stock to reinvest his earnings and then some. And he will every single time because they're fucking addicted. And then you just keep doing this again and again and again. Meanwhile, he thinks he's getting shit rich, which he is on paper. But you and me, the brokers, right, we're taking home cold hard cash via commission, motherfucker.
Right. That's incredible, sir. Can't tell you how excited I am.
You should be.
Now, they say you're only as rich and powerful, you're only going to get as smart, you're only going to rise to the closest to the people, the five people you're closest to. That'll be your net worth. Some of you need to make some new friends. That's the point of the Money Flow Gang. You know me, man. I got a little money. I get up every day to do this. I don't know about your uncle or your best friend or your girlfriend, but I know I do. Maybe Jesus said we're two or more gathered, and here we are. Blackstone was originally formed as a mergers and acquisitions advisory boutique. It advised on the 1987 merger of investment banks, E.F. Hutton, and Shears Lehman Brothers, collecting a $3.5 million fee. When E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen. Have you ever heard that? It is a commercial that used to run.
Now that looks like a very interesting situation. My broker is really enthusiastic about it. What does your broker say?
Well, my broker is E.F. Hutton, and E.F. Hutton says...
And everyone listens!
When E.F. Hutton talks, people listen.
Hell yeah. When Goldman Sachs talks, this is Blackstone and BlackRock. When they talk, let's listen. From the outset in 1985, Schwarzman and Peterson planned to enter into the private equity business, but had difficulty in raising their first fund because neither had ever led a leveraged buyout. Blackstone finalized fundraising for its first private equity fund in the aftermath of Black Monday. I don't give a fuck. Take the stock to zero. We'll do it even on Black Monday in the October 1987 global stock market crash. That's funny. Half my friends run away. These motherfuckers launch Blackstone. I wonder what we would do. What would you do? After 2 years of providing strictly advisory service, Blackstone decided to pursue a merchant banking model after its founders determined that many situations required an investment partner. In other words, these motherfuckers are all broke and nobody had any money. So you couldn't even give them ideas because they didn't have money to do the idea. So they said, you know what? I'm going to come to your house and rub your shoulders. We're going to not only pick the ideas, we're going to fund the ideas. And that's what they did. It's kind of what Warren Buffett does too, by the way. Blackstone finalized his fundraising for his first private equity fund in the aftermath. We read that. The largest investors in the first fund included Prudential Insurance Company, Nikko Securities, it's a big Japanese firm, and General Motors Pension Fund. Yeah, so all you guys bitching, Blackstone's killing all the poor people. They're actually helping feed the blue-collar workers that worked at GMC. They're helping feed the Gerald Peters family. The MFG Capital. These guys helped me. They've increased my investments in Blackstone have gone up 400%. Anyone could have clicked the button and invested. So what these guys do is they go out and see where there's opportunity and they actively engage in the opportunity. And people who sit on the couch and don't complain that these guys are buying up all the assets. No shit. No shit. So am I. So is the other guy in town. So is the neighbor next door. We are all going to buy it. Are you buying? Are you playing? Maybe you're too busy. Instead of buying it, we got people making TikTok videos about it. Blackstone Venture, this is why it's important. You said, what does this have to do with Larry Fink? What does that have to do with his letter, Gerald? Get to the fucking point. Podcast is too long. Blackstone also ventured into other businesses. Oh, wait, I do crypto. Oh, wait, and I do single family real estate. Oh, wait, and I buy land. Oh, wait, and I'm invested in storage facilities. Oh, wait, am I invested in closed-end funds? Oh, wait, and I swing trade. Oh, wait, I do royalty deals. Oh, wait, I own MLPs. See, but not like $10, like $100,000. 100 here, 100 there, 50 here, 37,000 down here, 100,000 Bitcoin here. That doubles. Take this, buy that. Ooh, take that collection, put it here. But you have to wake up with the intent to do that.
There's two keys to success in the broker business. First of all, you gotta stay relaxed. Yeah.
1988, under the corporate umbrella of Blackstone, Fink co-founded BlackRock and became its director and CEO. When BlackRock split from Blackstone in 1994, Fink retained his position, becoming the chairman, and in 1998, after BlackRock became independent, his and other positions at the company have included chairman of the board, chairman of the executive and leadership committees, chair of corporate counsel, co-chairs of global client committee. BlackRock went public in 1999. The 2000s, in 2003, Fink helped to negotiate the resignation of the CEO of the New York Stock Exchange, Richard Grasso, who was widely criticized for his $190 million pay package. In 2006, Fink led the merger with Merrill Lynch Investment Managers, which doubled BlackRock's asset management portfolio. That same year, BlackRock's $5.4 billion of the Stuyvesant Town Peter Cooper Village, a Manhattan housing complex, which became the largest residential real estate deal in U.S. history when the project ended in default. One thing you're going to notice, BlackRock isn't without its mistakes, much like you. Before you criticize, let me ask you, you ever made a mistake? You ever get the deal wrong? Even the masters of the universe mess up, blow out. They just don't spend a lot of time on it. They get back up, dust themselves off, and go out and get more money, start trading and investing again. The U.S. government contracted Blackstone to aid in its recovery after the financial crisis of 2008. Fink's longstanding relationships with the senior government officials, remember what I read, we took you through it, the connection of Blackstone to BlackRock to Lehman Brothers to First National Bank of Boston to E.F. Hutton. They cut in crisis Fink's longstanding relationship with senior government officials who came, or people out of Lehman Brothers, out of First Boston, out of the connection between Blackstone. These people go on to be and work at the Treasury and the U.S. Department of this and that. And this is a common theme. We now see it with Goldman Sachs has stepped into this ring. These are the masters of the universe. BlackRock's contract led to the relationship with Obama's first Treasury Secretary, Tim Geithner, and additionally, members of the Obama Economic Recovery Team. This man has connections from China all the way to the White House. Fink aspired to become Hillary Clinton's Secretary of Treasury. Shit, let me have the job. Let me print the money, said Larry Fink. BlackRock also hired many former executive branch appointees to its firm, strengthening its association with the federal government. Hey, if you can't beat them, join them.
It was a year before the Black Monday crash. Wall Street darling Larry Fink suffered a $100 million trading loss.
I was so angry at myself. I was just mortified at myself.
Humiliated, Fink now is forced to leave the company. But upon his failure, he will build the mightiest company in the world, BlackRock.
A mere 32 years later, BlackRock becomes the biggest asset manager in the world. How fast do you bounce back? Family is at the core of Larry Fink's virtues. Fink has been married to his wife, Laura Weider, his high school sweetheart, since 1974. The couple has three children. Joshua, their eldest son, was the CEO of Esno Capital, a now defunct hedge fund in which Fink had a stake. So what we're going to see in Larry's life is not a perfect track record.
everything hasn't come that easy. And like you, like me, they can take that stock to zero. That fund can blow out. Make no mistake about it. Even the best have stocks, decisions, predictions, and trades that go against them. Larry Fink often is the target of criticism. Larry, a capitalist, obligated to his investors to share, to spread their assets. He has $10 trillion under management. And they have to spread it wide and far to put that kind of money to work. And he's often criticized for his company's investments in U.S. aerospace companies like Lockheed Martin, Raytheon, and Boeing. These U.S. aerospace and defense ETFs that his company owns and collects money as people invest in the war machine. In 2018, he became the target of activists in U.S. nonprofit organization called Code Pink, top of their hit list. Confronted Pink, they took it to the extreme of confronting Pink as he would speak at different meetings. And he was confronted on stage at the Yahoo Finance All Market Summit. He's often followed, targeted, and criticized for those who don't understand economics on the level that he does.
Larry BlackRock, founded in 1988 by Larry Fink, has taken the world by storm. With a powerful grip on the financial industry, BlackRock has become the owner of most major U.S. banks and pharmaceutical companies, and has even extended its reach to the realm of mainstream media. Its shadowy presence looms large, quietly influencing the very fabric of our society. With their fingers in so many pies, it's no wonder that they oversee roughly 10% of all stocks traded worldwide. And if that isn't enough, they've even started taking over governments. BlackRock has amassed a mind-boggling $10 trillion in assets, which is half of America's total GDP. Their wealth is so massive that even the U.S. and Chinese governments rely on BlackRock to escape recessions. In fact, the founder and CEO of BlackRock is now sitting on the boards of both the Influential Council on Foreign Relations and the World Economic Forum. Clearly, company is a force to be reckoned with in the business world. It's mind-blowing to think that company has managed to amass such an incredible amount of power and wealth in just 34 years. What's even more shocking is how most people have never even heard of them. After watching this video, you'll come to understand the real-world consequences of BlackRock's lightning-fast rise to dominance. Back in 1988, BlackRock was just a fledgling investment firm. But it wasn't long before Larry Fink, the mastermind behind the company, started raking in the big bucks. In just 5 years, BlackRock went from being worth a mere $5 million to an astonishing $8 billion. However, success didn't come without its fair share of struggles. A power struggle emerged over who would control the future of company, as Fink wanted to keep his plans for world domination under wraps. In 1995, he pressured co-founder Schwartzman to sell his stake in the company for $250 million, a stake that would now be worth over $12 billion on its own. But despite the gamesmanship, Fink's path to global domination was unstoppable. Over the next decade, he continued to amass power and influence, driven by his insatiable ambition. In 2008, the world was hit by the worst financial crash since the Great Depression, and surprisingly, it was all under Larry Fink's control. Fink had always known that mortgage-backed securities would be the fuse that would ignite the financial crisis, but he also knew that BlackRock's focus on asset management would shield them from the meltdown. In fact, the financial crisis presented an opportunity for Fink and company, and they were the only ones who could fix it. With Fink's personal connections to Timothy Geithner, the Treasury Secretary, BlackRock secured an uncontested contract to manage the assets of multiple banks that crumbled during the crisis. This maneuver allowed Fink to exploit the disaster and become the most powerful man on Wall Street. Company has been gaining significant control over major corporations in recent years. They have purchased stakes in almost every major company on the stock market, making their presence almost ubiquitous in the business world. It's remarkable how much power BlackRock holds over the economy, and their influence is growing by the day. Larry Fink recognized the potential of technology in the future economy and invested heavily in building a supercomputer that could analyze investment opportunities. This massive investment has paid off, as the supercomputer has enabled company to identify profitable investments with incredible accuracy. BlackRock's control over the world is not just limited to the stock market, as they also dominate the media and big tech industry. They own significant stakes in major media companies, including Fox, CBS, and Disney, and are the largest institutional investor in Google, Facebook, Twitter, and Amazon.
As are the MFG. Wow. Okay. Man, I feel drained just getting to know all about Larry. Larry Fink, man, that's what we're going to get into. This podcast is part one. I just wanted the build up. We needed the tease. We got to have a little foreplay. We got to know who Larry is. We can't just get into the numbers or the stocks or it won't make sense. This is one of the masters of the universe. This is one of the hedge fund titans. This is the guy that knows Wall Street. Hey, don't forget, this is a player-e-player game. I want to know what in the fuck Larry Fink is doing, because I need to make money too. I don't know about you. I ain't got time to bullshit. I'm trying to get my homework done. Today, Sunday, 3/31/24. Man, I hope you do your homework this weekend. And hey, let's go fucking get it this week. MFG, where are you at? Let me know. Part two may fall tomorrow, maybe the next day. We're going to get into Larry Fink's 2024 annual chairman's letter to investors to see, are we on the right track? Are we going to be ready? And let's keep an eye on the sector rotation. God bless. Thanks for listening. Appreciate you, man. God bless.